The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Welcome back into the Holler at Home Team podcast. Make sure you join us on all platforms, Spotify, the Google Play Store, or you can get in the on the Apple Store as we got a chance to get all platforms covered. We've got a guy in here today who's one of our own. He's one of Georgia's own. He's a guy that grew up here, played ball at McEachern, went on to Clemson, and now he is in the minor league system with the Tampa Bay Rays, and we'll get a chance to get a lot of information from him. Proud to be joined by Keyshawn Askew, who joins us here on the Holler at Home Team podcast. Thank you for joining us, Keyshawn.
I'm happy to be here, man. You know, talk about some good stuff, talk about some baseball, and just talk about some good times. So I'm happy to be here.
What's it like to be back home before you have to get to the grind of minor league, play all over again?
Very, very happy to be home. You know, Atlanta and Georgia always holds a sweet place in my heart. Pretty much my whole family's been from here. So it's just like getting to see everybody, and this is all I know in a sense, you know. So I'm just always happy to be home, and the off season is a long season in general. So to be home just for like the nice 4 months, it's nice.
Talk sure. about living a dream. You know, a lot of guys grow up playing baseball, have dreams of getting to the show, and here you are on your way. When did you realize you are good enough? You know, once you get to a certain point, you know, everybody can be good on your high school team or your travel ball team and certainly your college team. But when did you realize, you know what, not only am I pretty good, I'm good enough to, you know, exceed some expectations and do what you want to do, which is get into the pipeline of a Major League Baseball system?
Yeah, I think it was probably my freshman year of college. I pitched a lot that year, learned a lot, had a lot of different roles, started for a little bit on the weekend, started in the midweek, came out of the pen. And my coaches were kind of telling me, like, man, if you really figure this out and you hone down on your craft, you really got a big shot at this. And just a lot of guys on my team and older upperclassmen were telling me, like, bro, you've got a really good chance with this. And, you know, coming into that, you don't always think that it's obtainable. Yes, it's a goal, it's a lifelong dream, but like you don't still think that it's possible. So I just tried to do as best as I could and just go out there and play baseball at the end of the day, and it worked out in my favor for sure.
What kind of support did you get from your family? Because everybody knows you get to Clemson, that's a great school. Yeah. Mom and dad, everybody wants you to go and get that degree, but when the scouts come a-calling and start looking and you have the opportunity, sometimes to only get that one opportunity when you're young, you have to take it. What was that like getting the support from your family when you make the decision? You know what? Been through my junior year at college, but I have a chance to go and do something not a lot of people get to do.
Yeah, it was definitely huge. My mom was the biggest proponent of me getting my degree for sure. She was telling me even before I had went off to college, you're getting that degree for sure. So
she's gonna want the plaque as well.
Oh, she wants that. Yeah, she still wants that. She actually talks about it to this day. But you know, my dad and my parents, everybody behind me, they understood what I wanted to do going in. I told them, I was like, hey, I'm gonna try to go up there for 3 years and I'm gonna try to get drafted my junior year. I don't plan on really staying my senior year. And I was lucky enough with God to not really deal with too many injuries and played well enough to reach that goal. But my parents, they, you know, it's my life and they fully backed me behind me. But at the same time, you know, we all know a degree is very important, and I'm gonna go back and get that degree at some point. But I had to reach my goals and see if baseball was calling, and baseball was calling, so I answered, you know.
A couple of beauties. One, you can go back, but also when you get to the level you are, sometimes teams, or you can negotiate contractually, teams can pay for you to go back to school. Yeah. That's a lot of things and some information, you know, kids and prospects may not know.
Yeah. So most of the times, if you're in college, it's in your contract, actually, when you sign, that however much school you have left, the team will pay for it. So that makes it a lot easier, whether if you have 30 hours left or 15 or 12, whatever it is. You can always go back and pay for it. You have 10 years and they'll pay for it and you can just go knock it out. So I'm gonna definitely go back and get that degree for sure.
How nerve wracking was it? You were injured in your junior season and at the start of the season. So now got to think a little anxiety has to creep in because you don't want to waste time and you don't want to have to wait for your opportunity to come later if you can get it now. What was that like recovering from your injury and then still being able to get out there so you could get drafted?
For sure. I want to first off thank Travis Johnson, our trainer at Clemson. He helped me get back really, really fast. I actually had a sprained, like a second to third grade sprained MCL, and it happened the week before the season started in a scrimmage game. So I was like, man, this is gonna be tough, you know. I was competing for a weekend starting job, and now I, you know, we don't know how long I was gonna be out. So I was just trying to work my way back as fast as I could, and like you said, there was definitely anxiety there. I was just trying to, you know, I get so close to reaching my dream. It's junior year. It's finally the draft year. And now I'm going to miss the first month of the season. But like I said, Travis Johnson, he helped me really get back fast. I think I was out for maybe 4 weeks, and I pitched with a knee brace on my left knee for pretty much the whole year. But, you know, you just got to do what you got to do at the end of the day. If you really want it, you got to do what you got to do. So
making the transition from college, and then you become a professional. You're grown. You have to make grown man decisions. Talk about the process of finding your agent and your representation and your family's role in that, because they have to let you live your life and let you lead your heart where it's going. But I'm sure mom and dad are going to be looking at the agent, looking at you, listen to what he's saying, listen to what you're saying, and then you guys make a collective decision.
Yeah, so I signed with an advisor when I was 17 in high school. You know, the term advisor, agent, it's basically the same
thing. Explain
that. Yeah, it's basically the same thing, but you have to call it an advisor because it's some type of NCAA rule violation where you can't technically have an agent in high school or in college. But I remember we went out to go meet with him in his office and sat and talked for probably like an hour, and he just spoke very highly of me and just tried to make my parents feel very comfortable. And over time, we built a really good relationship, and I just felt comfortable with making that decision. He was a great guy, and I think it was important for me, and kind of important for most kids, to kind of have that outlook, because it's kind of hard, especially now, trying to navigate through that whole process. Schools calling you left and right, people calling you left and right about trying to offer you scholarships and stuff like that. But you know, it's, you don't know what's always genuine and what that process might be like. So to have someone that kind of knows the area and knows the game in itself to navigate you through that is definitely was a big help for me, and I know it's a big help for a lot of guys too.
We'll get into the regimen a little bit later, you know, being a minor league player and what you have to be prepped for, and what the day-to-day responsibilities you have a little bit later. Your thoughts when you have to make that jump, you get drafted, take us through that process when, you know, you finally see, and look, you know, when you are from Georgia, you are in Braves country, you know, people are going to be happy where you go, but you get drafted in the 10th round by the New York Mets. How is that? You got to be happy when a call comes in, but you got to put on that orange, you got to put on that blue. So it's a great thing for you, but how is that when all your friends and family are probably Braves fans, but they are still supportive of you?
Yeah. So my draft day was very up and down. A couple of my friends were over, and it was you're hearing this, you're hearing that, you're watching it, you're seeing some of your friends go, you're seeing some of the guys you played against go. So it's kind of tough to sit and watch and wait your turn.
Yeah.
But the Mets called, and I was at that point, I was like, man, you know, this is my one opportunity, and I'm gonna take it. I didn't really care the team, you know.
Right.
Would have loved to play for the hometown team, the Braves.
Which, but you shouldn't care. If somebody's
calling,
send the scout, and they're sending the contract over, that's where you should be.
For sure. And everybody was happy, of course, but you always get those phone calls and texts, and it's like, hey, I'll be rooting for you, but it's going to be hard to root for you while you're playing for the Mets. So, you know, it is what it is, but I'm like, hey, I'm just on the team. You don't have to necessarily be a Mets fan. You can just be a fan of me. So at the end of the day, that's how I kept it. And one of my best friends, Will Ingram, he's a diehard Braves fan, and he was a little hurt by that because he's not a big Mets guy. So.
Yeah, a lot of us have probably that same thing on our ledger. We're not big Mets fans.
For sure.
But got to be an exciting day for you and your family and then your friends and everybody who supported you.
Yeah.
We'll get into, you know, what happens once you go from college to being a minor league baseball player for the first time and then how that changes your life and how you have to focus every day on being a professional. When we return here on the Holler at Home Team podcast, sitting down with Keyshawn Askew, minor league baseball player here from Georgia.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
All right, back here on the Holler at Home Team podcast. Make sure you check us out, Spotify, Google Play, or in the Apple Store. And here with local product and a former McEachern baseball player. What's it like now that you get through college and you have, you know, college scheduled? They tell you what to do. You kind of eat as a team. You're kind of in a routine and everything is laid out for you. Now, all of a sudden, you become a minor league player. How does that transition work for you? And what are the differences going from a major college program to being in the New York Mets program to start your minor league career?
Yeah, it was very quick, I will say that. I got drafted on July 12th, I want to say, or June 12th, and I was gone down to Port St. Lucie, Florida within the next, like, 3 or 4 days. So
man,
I just had to pack all my stuff up, and it was very surreal. Like, it's like, all right, you just reached your dream, and now it's like, now it's time to go down to work. Like, this is your job now. But baseball, to me, still hasn't reached to the point where it's a job. I'm still having a ton of fun, but like you said, though, it's very quick, but I kind of like the pro ball nature of things. It's everything in college was scheduled to the T. You have to be here at this exact time. You're doing this today, this. When in pro ball, it's kind of like everyone has their own routine. There's not too much guidance on you for the most part. Yes, there's going to be coaches out there telling you, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, or different weighted ball routines and stuff like that for pitchers. But for the most part, like, they're there to help you reach your career. They're not gonna, like, if you don't want it, you know, you don't want it. Like, but they're gonna help you, but it's kind of more so on you in a sense, where you kind of find yourself and find what you really need, and you can talk and conversate with guys. And that's kind of what I did. Talked with a lot of the guys in the organization, just tried to figure out like a good middle point for me of what I should do to be successful.
What are the accommodations? You know, we hear stories where you guys sometimes, it sounds like you have to drive go-karts to every town. You're barnstorming. It's five guys in one bed in a room. What are the accommodations like when you go from Clemson to the New York Mets and now to the Tampa Bay Rays organization?
Yeah, okay. So I won't say I haven't had those type of horror stories. Hopefully I won't have to have them at all.
All right.
But It is a little different. You know, I stayed in a hotel for probably about 7 months
okay.
out of the year last season. And then when I got promoted to Brooklyn, our high A team with the Mets, they put us in a nice apartment in Brooklyn. But outside of that, it's you know, it's just a grind. Like, it is a true grind. And that's why you see those guys making all that type of money, because they truly did work for it. Like, you're there for long hours at the, you know, you show up to the field at probably like 12, you're there until 9 o'clock, and it's just baseball strictly all day. So it is a grind, and the rooming services are a little different. You might have a roommate, or you pretty much do have a roommate on the road all the time, and the meals are there, but the meals are nice. But I will say the Mets treated us very nicely. Like, I don't know about other organizations, I can't truly speak, and Tampa Bay seems to be treating me very nicely so far. Haven't had much time with them yet, but I know the Mets, they do right by their guys for sure.
What is the camaraderie to hater ratio? Because you are teammates, you know, in theory, you want as many of your teammates to get promoted to, you know, AA, AAA, and eventually end up in the show. But, you know, you want your turn to pitch. You don't want to miss a start in your rotation. What is the camaraderie like as compared to the competition of trying to get noticed and trying to get the organization to bump you up as quickly as possible?
For sure. I think at the lower levels, I think it's more of a camaraderie and more of a team aspect of things. That's what I experienced in low A and high A for sure. But I've heard stories about kind of guys, because at the end of the day, it is your job. Like, you're trying to get to that goal. Honestly, if the other person is kind of stopping you, it you got to do what you got to do in a sense. And I think that most of the guys that I met were all very supportive. We were all very supportive of each other because it was pretty much our first couple of seasons within minor league baseball. So we were kind of just all trying to work through it together and learn as we go. I haven't experienced much hatred. All the guys seem very genuine. And, okay. You know, it's baseball, so we all kind of get along with the same things, but I've definitely heard my stories about just some selfish teammates and some guys that just truly do just look out for themselves. But at the same time, I can't really blame them, you know, because the minor leagues is a grind and we're all trying to get to the majors so we can make that nice money and live out our dreams for sure.
And that's no different from any other workplace in America where some folks hit and take to one another genuinely. And sometimes people have their own motives that don't work within the, you know, reality of what a good relationship should be. So you just have to move forward and do the best you can. What about equipment? You know, things are different once you get to the majors. You get to the show, you know, you have your bat deals, you have your glove deals. How many gloves do you have? And how do you get your equipment, and how does that change from college to now being, you know, a minor league baseball player?
Yeah, so in college, like, usually, maybe I'd probably say, like, the second or third week of, like, fall full practice, you walk in, and at Clemson, they treated us very nicely, I will say that. You walk in, and it's like a big duffel bag, and you've got shirts, shorts, shoes, pants, all of that type of stuff. And now with major leagues, that's more so, I mean, not minor leagues, that's more so where your agent kind of takes care of that stuff.
Okay.
That's where their job kind of comes into play. They go out and get you the deals that you need, like glove deals or batting gloves, bats, all that type of stuff. So I actually just got a deal with 44 Pro. So customized 3 gloves. So all those will be on the way if they're not already down there now. But, you know, the better player you are, obviously, the more and the nicer deals you get. But there's some guys out there that come in, like, first day of spring training, and they'll have probably, like, 10 boxes in front of their lockers of just stuff to open. Like, it's a happy day when you walk in and you see those boxes.
Yeah, you kind of see it with the NFL players. And I remember Joe Johnson used to play for the Hawks. He had a deal with Brand Jordan, and he had 2 lockers. And we were trying to figure out, why did Joe have 2 lockers? Well, he got a shipment from Nike every month, and so he had so many shoes that he had to have a second locker. Not a bad place to be as, but to your point, the better you are, the better opportunities you have to blend in with other brands.
For sure.
Being a minor leaguer, you are ahead of the curve and you can help us all out. The new rules in baseball for 2023 in the major leagues, you guys have already been indoctrinated for a pitcher, the pitch clock, 15 seconds to home plate if no one is on base, 20 seconds if there are runners on bases. You can only go over to first base so many times, and obviously the impetus was to speed up the game. Your thoughts as somebody who has lived it, and what do you like and what do you think could be changed in the future moving forward?
Yeah, me personally, I kind of work fast when I'm on the mound. So the pitch clock, it didn't take me too long to get adjusted to do it. I will say that. I know some other guys kind of had their problems with it, and I honestly had my fair share of problems with it early on. But I think that the pitch clock will help, you know, the game and trying to bring in more viewers and more younger viewers to the game. But at the same time, I don't think it's necessarily needed. I know a lot of pitchers have their certain routines that they like to hit and checkpoints within their windup or stretch motion that they have to hit in order for them to, you know, be successful and be consistent on the mound, because, you know, we all know that's the key. But I think maybe they could change it, runners on base, no one on base, maybe like 18 seconds, and then maybe, you know, lengthen it a little bit, because it's just certain guys' routines that it's just going to help the game of baseball and help overall everyone play better if you give it a little more time. Yes, I understand baseball games can definitely get lengthy, for sure. They can get lengthy, but, like, if you're a true baseball fan,
you're enjoying that part.
Your opinion, who advantage who, batter or pitcher, when these clocks still impact both sides? Because we had an incident in the Braves' first ever spring training game under the rules, and Cal Conley didn't get into the batter's box with a 3-2 count, bases loaded, two outs in the bottom of the ninth, and the game ends in a tie. Who do you think has the advantage, the batters or the pitchers, or does it just come down to personal style and approach or scenario in the game?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's personal style and approach.
Okay.
You've got guys where it doesn't really take them much. They might just click their heels and hop in the batter's box. It doesn't really take them much. You got certain guys that switch their batting gloves, take it all off, do all of that type of stuff. So I think it just honestly depends on the person. I've seen some games where, like, guys get rung up, hitters get rung up because they don't get in the box fast enough. Or I've seen pitchers walk the bases loaded now because you get a ball because you don't get on the mound in time. So it just honestly depends on who it is, and everyone's just still getting adjusted to it, obviously. But I think it's going to take a little time for everyone.
I would think it'll impact you pitchers more.
Yeah, honestly,
got a guy on first. Let's say it's first and second, and you give up a single, maybe one run scores. Well, now you got to settle down and think about the approach to the next batter. Well, let's say he swings on the next pitch and two runs come in. Now all of a sudden they have a rally going and you haven't had a chance to settle down.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And that's why I say maybe, like, with runners on base, give us a little more time, just because, like, that's truly when it matters. Pitching with runners on base is when it matters. That's how most of the time guys score. I mean, solo home runs or whatever, home run, that's fine. But pitching on base, that's really where most of the pitchers make their money, being successful doing that. So I think it's definitely going to have to take some time to get used to, but I kind of do agree with you when you say, like, the pitchers kind of take a little fault to that, especially with runners on base.
Wrapping up with Keyshawn Askew, one of Atlanta's own in the minor league system with the Tampa Bay Rays, here on the Holler at Home Team podcast. What lessons have you learned early in your minor league career, and what advice would you give a young player who is drafted and makes the transition either from high school or college and then gets into a minor league system for a pro team?
Man, it's a long season for sure.
Okay.
Coming from college or either coming from high school, you've never played this many games in your life, I promise you. It's a 155-game season, 6 games a week. Monday's the only off day. So just, if you truly don't love baseball, you'll figure it out at that point. But it's a grind. And one thing I will say is, like, whether your first outing or your first couple of games as a hitter is not going well, trust me, man, you got a lot more to turn it around. So or whether you're on a hot streak and you start off really hot, like, you know, everyone knows baseball is a streaky game in itself anyway. So it has its loves and its curses for sure. But, like, I would just say take it a day at a time and soak it all in, because at any point in moment, it can be taken away, you know.
Best advice you got from any of your coaches at any level up until this point?
I would probably say just competing in the zone, like, competitive nature. A lot of guys, they say, like, this guy had the stuff. He had whatever, but he just didn't look like he was competing out there, and just being confident within yourself. I think being confident within yourself is going to take you farther away, because that coach, when it comes down to it, he knows this guy's confident. I can trust him in this situation, and they'll give you the ball or they'll give you the bat in that situation. So just being confident and being strong within yourself, you know.
And lastly, what are your goals? We know one of them. You want to get to the show.
For sure.
What are your goals in preparing and preparation for that opportunity when it comes?
Man, you know, one of my goals for sure is to try to be there before I'm at least 25 or 26.
Okay.
23 now. But that's not necessarily in my hands. The only thing that's in my hands is my play. So for sure to stay healthy, have a full healthy season. And honestly, that's about it. Just to get there as fast as I can and enjoy it all.
All right. Well, we appreciate your time. A lot of good info. A lot of kids that play baseball here in Georgia with aspirations of getting to the minor leagues, going to college, playing for a big-time program. And hopefully things work out in your favor. You certainly have a lot of fans around here. And we'll be rooting for you. And hopefully you keep at it. Good work comes. Good work ethics you already have. And hopefully a good opportunity will come your way. So we'll be rooting for you and see you one day if you get a chance to get to the show. And who knows? One day maybe we'll see you pitch pitching across the street to Truist Park.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
There he is. Keyshawn Askew, minor league pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. One of our own joining us here on the Holler at Home Team podcast. Make sure you click on the Holler at Home Team podcast on Spotify, on Apple, or on Google Play. And we hope to see you next time with an exciting, interesting guest.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.